on Christmas Eve at the Vineyard.
Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us here at the Vineyard. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors. Hey, where I want to get a turn in the Bible, where I'm going to begin, is in Matthew 28. So if you have a Bible, you have the app, open it up. Matthew 28, very famous verses, 18 to 20. So we're going to begin in just a moment. Before we dive into that, though, I just want to pause for a moment and show you a short video from our Thanksgiving food basket giveaway that we did the Tuesday before Thanksgiving right here on this campus. So let's go ahead and run that video. Such a great event. I want to thank those of you that served at that event, those of you that gave food, turkeys, or gave financially. Thank you. Really made a difference in lots of people's lives for this last Thanksgiving. You know, when you and I give financially to God through our church, those are some of the kinds of things that God is able to do with our money. And so I just want to remind you, when you give here to the Vineyard, it really matters. You're making a difference in lots of people's lives in all kinds of really tangible ways. And I know many of you are really generous and faithful in your giving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It does make a difference. We're going to pause for a moment and pray for our gifts and offerings whenever we give those back to God. But mostly, let's pray for a moment and ask God to speak into our hearts through the scriptures this morning. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for all that you do through our church family with our gifts and our tithes and our offerings to you, Lord. We pray that every time we give it to you, God, you would use it to change people's lives tangibly and spiritually, Lord, we pray. I pray you'd bless not only the gifts that we give, but you'd bless us in being faithful to you with our finances. And now, God, as we look into the Bible, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to each one of us. We try to put aside anything right now that might distract us, God, from what you want to say to us. And we ask you to speak deeply into our hearts. And Lord, I know for that to happen that I need your empowering. So I ask for that right now. Come, Holy Spirit, empower my words that they would be from you and not just from me. Have your way, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're starting just a little two-week series this weekend called Reaching Out, because I want to reemphasize, you know, leading up to Christmas, Easter will be here before we know it, won't it? Leading up to Christmas, that it's really important that we keep being a church that reaches out to new people. And now you might say, well, Brian, why do we want to reach out? Because the church, according to Jesus, has never supposed to been about just those who are already in the church. The church has always existed to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus Christ personally. That's why the church exists. And that's why we at Vineyard North Phoenix exist as well. We always want to be a church that reaches your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, those who don't yet know Christ. We want to reach out to them and reach them. And by the way, if you're new to our church, you need to know that our church has always been this way. We've always been a church that reaches out to those who are not in the church. We don't exist for us. We exist for those who are not part of our church family, and we've always been that way. And I want you to know, as long as I'm the senior pastor here, we are always going to be an outreach-oriented church. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why, by God's grace, we started over 30 years ago with about 12 people in our living room. And then pre-COVID, we were averaging over 4,700 people every single weekend here. It's because we've always been an outreach-oriented church. And like I said, we're going to continue that as long as I'm the senior pastor. And I've been doing this for 30 years, and I think I have another 30 years in me. So, you know, I'm not going anywhere. All right, so first of all, let's look at why do we want to keep reaching out to new people? Well, there are two main reasons. The first one is because the Bible commands us to be outreach-oriented. And at Vineyard North Phoenix, we always want to do what the Bible says. We don't want to do just what we think is the right thing to do or what we feel is the right thing to do or what, you know, what popular opinion is. We always want to ask and answer the question, well, what does the Bible say about that particular subject, whatever the subject is? And in this case, why do we keep reaching out? The Bible is very, very clear. You know, right before Jesus ascended to heaven, the very last thing that he said before he ascended into heaven is known as the Great Commission. I had you turn there, Matthew 28. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then he says, go therefore and make disciples. Underline this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, as long as all the nations, that literally means all the people groups, are not discipled, then we must keep reaching out to more people. That's what God wants us to do, and I believe that's what God wants every church to do. See, I want you to know, there's a reason why God leaves us as followers of Jesus here on earth after we become followers of His. He leaves us here for a reason, and that reason is He has stuff for us to do. He has God stuff. In fact, Jesus said this in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for what? And you shall be my witnesses, underline witnesses. You shall be my witnesses everywhere you go, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. So Jesus is telling us that we're to be his witnesses. And as witnesses for Jesus, we're to continually tell his story, and also continually tell our story. What God has done in our life and what God could do in their life, whoever you're talking to. And as we do that, oftentimes people will give their life to Jesus. And when that happens, those people need a place to worship. They need a place to grow spiritually. They need a spiritual family to belong to. They need a place to be discipled. And that's where the church comes in. You know, when I think about all the people whose lives have been changed by God through our church over all these years, man, it just continually motivates me more and more and more to do everything I can to keep us outreach oriented as a church family. We have to keep reaching out to more people. I mean, God has used our church family by His grace over the years to do so many things in people's lives. He's used our church family to heal marriages, to break addictions over people, to shatter loneliness in people's lives, to infuse people with significance and purpose, to help people grow spiritually, to heal people's bodies, to save people from the penalty of their sins. I mean, the truth is, almost every one of you in this room and almost every one of you who are watching online, you have some sort of a story of how God has changed your life in some way since coming to the Vineyard. You know, maybe your story is that you found Christ for the very first time when you came to the Vineyard, and he's been transforming your life ever since. Maybe your story is you were sort of a backslidden Christian, weren't really growing. You came to the Vineyard, and all of a sudden you started growing spiritually in ways that you never have before. Maybe you came here and your marriage was on the rocks, and God began to supernaturally repair and mend your marriage. Maybe your kids were never into church before. You took them to children's ministry, or your teenagers, you took them to youth ministry, and all of a sudden they're fired up about coming to church when they've never been that way before. Maybe you came here and you were physically healed of some sort of physical malady, or maybe you were emotionally healed or mentally healed or whatever. But all of you, just about, have some kind of a story of how God has changed your life since being here at the Vineyard. In fact, I want to pause just for a moment. Raise your hand if you've been changed in some way by God since coming to the Vineyard. Raise your hand and leave it up right now. Everybody, leave it up. Leave it up. Leave it up. Look around the room. Those of you in the front, look around the room. You in the back, look around. There are lots and lots of hands saying, God has changed my life in some way since I've come to the Vineyard. And the truth is, there are lots and lots of people all around us, people we work with, people in our neighborhood, people that we're related to, friends of ours, lots of people all around us who have a story yet untold that God wants to unfold here at the Vineyard, and we have to reach them. We have to reach them. That's what God wants. All right, second reason we want to keep reaching out to new people is because of the needs of the people around us. Everybody has needs, especially these days, right? You know, the Apostle Peter, he said it like this in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. Little context there. Remember, Jesus promised the early disciples that he was coming back. And so as the church began, a lot of people saying, well, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? We want him to come back. He's going to make all things new. So Peter says, hey, the Lord's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. The reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's patient toward you, because he's not wishing, he's not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's why he hasn't come back yet. See, God's will is that nobody would ever have to spend eternity apart from God, that nobody would ever have to spend eternity in a place called hell. But as most of you know, that just doesn't automatically happen. Everybody doesn't automatically get to spend their eternity with God in heaven or the new creation forever. Now you might say, well, Brian, how does that happen then? How does a person become a follower of Jesus and make sure that they can spend their eternity with God in the new creation? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible's very clear about this. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are not many paths to God. Not every road leads to God. That is false. There's only one path that leads to God, and his name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the Apostle Peter said something similar in Acts 4:12. He said, there's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven, talking about the name of Jesus, no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of our sins. See, all of us, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, have sinned. We all have, every person. A sin means to miss the mark. It means anytime you've thought a wrong thought or done a wrong deed or said a wrong word, you've sinned. And the problem with that is there's a penalty for it. Romans 6:23 says the penalty or the wages of sin is death. And that word death there doesn't mean just physical death. It means eternal death and damnation. because we've sinned, we are headed in one direction, living a life of eternity apart from God. But again, that's not God's will. That's why he sent Jesus. And Romans 10:13 says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, saved from the penalty of their sins. And I want you to notice the word whoever. Whoever, no matter what you've done, no matter how far from God you feel like you are, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is open to every human being. Salvation through Jesus Christ. So everybody has a need to know Jesus. And therefore, as long as there's one person in the Phoenix area who doesn't yet know Jesus, we have to be a church who keeps reaching out. You know, statistics tell us that about 6,000 people die every day in the United States, one person every 15 seconds. And when a person dies, it's almost always really tragic, unless they've lived just an exceptional life and really old age and all that, but it's tragic, isn't it? But see, here's the great drama of the ages. When anybody dies, where will they spend eternity? Where will they spend eternity? Because the Bible's very clear, they're going to spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or the new creation with God forever, or apart from God in a place called hell forever. There's no middle chances. There's no second chance. There's no middle place. No such thing in the Bible as purgatory or anything like that. It's heaven or hell, and that's it. And so the reason that we have to keep reaching out to more people, it's not for our benefit. We're already in. It's for the benefit of those who aren't in, the benefit of other people. Because every single day, people you know, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, coworkers, neighbors, they die without Christ, and they're headed for an eternity in hell. And that's not God's will. And so all of us have to go after those people, and we have to welcome them before it's too late, because they matter. They matter to God. See, when a church decides that it doesn't want to keep reaching out to more people, that's a sign of selfishness. And I get it. It'd be really easy for us as a church family to just say, hey, let's just focus on the people who are already part of our church. I mean, we have enough people in our church already, and we all already have enough problems. We all have problems. Let's just deal with those of us who are already here. I mean, it makes sense in certain ways, doesn't it? You probably don't know this, but there are about 375,000 churches in the United States. 375,000. About 1,800 of those 375,000 are what's categorized as a megachurch. A megachurch is a church that has at least 2,000 people in weekend attendance every weekend. That's a megachurch. 1,800 out of 375,000. If you do the math, that's about 3/1,000ths of 1% of all the churches in the United States are as big as our church. We've been a megachurch for decades. Now, it would be really easy being in the top 1,800 churches in the entire United States as far as size to say, well, let's just focus on us. Sounds okay, but it's incredibly self-centered. You know why? Because when we say that, you know what we're really saying? We're saying, hey, I'm in, my kids are in, my friends are in, I guess the rest of the world can just go to hell. That's what we're saying when we say, let's just focus on us. That's incredibly selfish, and we all know God does not want us to be selfish, right? In fact, Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourselves. See, the fact is, for our church to keep reaching out to more and more people, it's going to take continual acts of unselfishness on all of our parts. You say, well, Brian, why is that? Because the truth is, it's costly to keep reaching out to more people. It's costly. You say, what do you mean it's costly? For example, if we keep reaching out to more and more people and more people start coming, you know what's going to happen one day? You're going to walk in here and somebody's going to be in your seat. God forbid. You know, it is so easy to know who's here on the weekends for me. You know why? Because you all sit in the same seats every week. And when you don't, it messes with my mind. I mean, it's amazing the things that go through your mind when you're up here speaking like this. I'll be like, you don't usually sit there. I'm thinking that while I'm saying something else. So if you want to mess with me, just everybody's, and if you really want to mess with me, go to a different service too. You know, that really messes with my mind. But it is. There are little things like that. Somebody's going to be in your favorite parking spot one day if we keep reaching out to more people. It's going to cost you. I'll guarantee you if we keep reaching more people, it's going to cost you money. And it's going to cost you convenience, and it's going to cost you service of some kind. It's going to cost all of us time, energy, and money if we want to be the kind of church that I believe God wants us to be, an outreach-oriented church that's continuing to reach lost people. Then why do we do it? Because people matter to God, and He wants us to reach them the best we can. See, the fact is this, a church chooses if it wants to keep reaching people or not. How do we choose? By choosing whether or not we're going to invite new people to come to our church. Whether or not we're going to invite coworkers or neighbors or relatives or friends. And by choosing whether or not we're going to serve them when they do come. You know, are we going to serve their kids in children's ministry? Am I going to give up some of my time and energy and talent to do that? Am I going to serve these new people's teenagers by serving in youth ministry? Am I going to serve these new people by serving them as a golf cart driver or an usher, a greeter, serving on the band, serving in the free coffee or the bookstore or the coffee bar, whatever? That's a choice. It takes lots of unselfish people to keep reaching out. In fact, you probably don't know this, but when a new person comes into any church, statistics say that that person has already made up their mind whether or not they're going to return in the first 4 to 10 minutes that they've been there. They haven't heard the message. They haven't heard the worship. But guess what? They've heard you. Are you friendly? Do you act like you want them here? Are you a closed group, us four, no more? Or are you open and receptive? Are you helpful? Are you kind? See, God wants all of us to continually be reaching out and being hospitable to all kinds of people who aren't here right now. That's part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So I want to encourage every single one of you again to be an inviter. To be an inviter. I've told you before, the number one reason why people who don't go to church say they don't go to church. Here's the number one reason. Nobody ever invited me. Nobody ever invited me. That's why I never go. I don't know where to go. It's all kinds of churches. I don't know what a good church is. So that means one of the greatest ways that you can make a positive impact for God's kingdom is to continually invite people in your sphere of influence, people you work with, people who live on your block, relatives of yours that don't go to church, friends of yours that don't go. And of course, how do we invite people? With our six packs. That's how we do it. with our six packs. And today we have brand new Christmas Eve six packs in the tunnels, in the baskets out there. So when you leave today, if you haven't picked one up, make sure you pick one up. Now, for those of you that are kind of new, what's a six pack? We say at the Vineyard, it's the only church you can get a free six pack. We call this a six pack because it's a little plastic sleeve with six invitation cards on it. Now, these are Christmas Eve oriented. So it has the service times for Christmas Eve, has all the information of the church, the phone number, all that kind of stuff. So what you do is you use these six packs to invite people. How do you do it? Okay, this week you're at work and you're talking to a coworker and you just say something like, you know, I don't know if you and your family ever go to church, but if you don't, man, I would love for you to come to my church for one of our Christmas Eve services. Boom, you hand them a card. It's that easy. It's right there. You give it to them. Now, they may ask you some questions about the church. They may not. You have to play that by ear. But you've done your job. Now you need to pray that God will bring them, you know, after you've invited them. But you've done your job. And by your simple invitation, you could be changing somebody's eternity. Because if they came for Christmas Eve service, you never know what God might do in their life. God might begin to change their life just like he began to change your life when you came to the Vineyard for the very first time. This week, you might be outside, one of your neighbors out there, you get talking about one thing or another. Hey, I don't know if you guys go to church or not, but if you don't, I would love for you to come to my church for Christmas Eve service. We have a great church. I think you'd love it. Our pastor is like amazing. You will love him. No, you don't have to say that part. And then you just, boom, you give them a card. Just like that. Do it at the grocery store. Do it at your kids' ball games. You know, there are two times of year that people who never think about church are starting to think about church. Christmas and Easter. There are people you work with that have in their mind, I would like to go to a Christmas Eve service, but I have no idea where to go. But if somebody they knew invited them, boom, with a card, they would most likely go. And you never know, like I said, what God might do in their life. So invite, invite, invite. All right. Now, even though the Bible very clearly teaches that God wants us to be outreach-oriented as a church family, that God wants us to reach more and more people for Jesus. Even though that's true, lots of Christians still have excuses for why not to do that. So I want to head off those excuses right now. Now I know none of you would have excuses to not do this, but the sinners that come at 11, they have excuses like crazy. So let me give you three common excuses for a church to stop reaching new people for Jesus. One thing that people say is, well, God isn't interested in numbers. My answer to that is, who said? In fact, God is so interested in numbers, he named an entire book of the Bible about it. It's called the Book of Numbers. God is super interested in numbers. This argument has no biblical foundation whatsoever. And remember, we always have to ask, what does the Bible say? And all through the Bible, guess what? God is interested in numbers. Jesus told parables about counting the number of soldiers you have before you go out to war. He told parables about a builder making sure they count the cost of the building before they start building. One of the guys had 100 sheep. Jesus talked about, and one of them wandered off. How did the guy know it wandered off? Because he counted his sheep. Counting is an act of love. You know, you've probably heard this before, but we count people because people count. People count. Now, I want you to know, I do my best to try to know who's here on the weekends and who's not. Now with COVID, it's become very problematic. That's why those of you that are online, if you can come back in person, please, please do. Do it for your pastor so I don't have to know whether or not you're still part of our church. I know those of you that are sitting here, you're still part of our church, but I don't know those of you who are online. I don't know who's online. But I try to know who's here and who's not. Now you might say, well, why is that so important? Because what I've found, I've been doing this a long time, what I've found as a pastor is that it's incredibly easy for Christians to backslide. And it's incredibly easy for people in our church to be picked off by the devil. Very easy. And so when I haven't seen someone for a while in our church, I'll ask one of our pastors to contact them. Why? Because people matter. People matter to God, and people matter to us here at the Vineyard. Because every single person is a person Jesus died for, and they matter. We count people because people count. Now you might say, well, Brian, what about David's sin of counting his troops? Well, David's sin was his motive for counting his troops. It wasn't because he counted his troops. It was his motive. He was counting his troops because he was relying on the size of his army rather than relying on God. So one excuse, God isn't interested in numbers. Oh, yes, he is. Second excuse that some people have, well, we want quality in our church, not quantity. Well, you know what? That implies you can't have both. We want both. Now, I realize bigger doesn't always mean better, but smaller doesn't always mean better either. Quality and quantity don't have to be enemies. In fact, Jesus said this, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I know some of you might be fishermen. I grew up in the state of Washington, and I was a fisherman. I know it's hard for you to believe. I haven't fished in probably decades. I don't know. But we had a boat. We went trout fishing. My dad was really into fishing and hunting. And so we went on the Pacific Ocean every year, went salmon fishing. But when you're a fisherman, how many fish you catch is really important. Quantity is really important. And it's also really important to a fisherman who catches the biggest fish. So fishermen want both quantity and quality. They want the most fish, but they also want the biggest fish. And that's how we are in the Vineyard. We want both. In fact, you know what? Quality usually leads to quantity. When you do things well as a church, quality, more people usually want to be a part of that church. Quantity. See, people want to be part of something that's a quality experience, something that really makes a difference in their lives. And so here at the Vineyard, we try to do everything we do with exceptional quality. Our worship teams, we try to have exceptional quality. Our children's ministry, our youth ministry, exceptional quality. The way we do stuff in our ministries, our facilities. We try, we don't always succeed, but we try to do everything we do with exceptional quality. Because excellence, that's what that is. Excellence does two things. Whenever you do anything excellent, you're doing two things. You're glorifying God, number one. Excellence glorifies God. And number two, excellence inspires people. When you go to work and you do an excellent job, you're glorifying God and you're inspiring the people around you. And that's what we want to do here at the Vineyard. So we want both quality and quantity. One last excuse for our church to stop reaching out. Well, large churches are too impersonal, so we don't want to grow large. Well, large churches don't have to be impersonal. Did you know that the average person in any size church knows about 60 people in that church? No matter how big the church or how small, you know about 60 people. So size actually doesn't affect how many people you know at all. It just seems like it does. So here at the Vineyard, what do we want to do? We want to grow larger and we want to grow smaller at the same time. You say, what do you mean? How do you do that? By small groups. By small groups. We want to grow larger on the weekends, you know, giving people a sense of destiny, giving people a sense that they're part of something that's really making a difference in the world. And we want to be small and intimate with each other during the week, in our small groups. And the truth is, size really has nothing to do with friendliness. You know, in fact, if a church is small and it's really friendly, it's probably not going to be small for long. You know, because people are attracted to friendly people. All right, let me give you 5 ways that you can make a difference with your life really quickly. If you want to make a difference in your life, do these 5 things. First of all, invite people to church all the time. Remember, number one reason why people don't go to church, nobody ever invited me. Man, don't let that be the testimony of people you work with or people you're related to. Don't ever let that be their testimony. Always carry invitation cards with you. I do it all the time, have for years and years, because you never know when you're going to get an opportunity. I was at the Apple store just a couple of weeks ago doing some stuff, and somebody was waiting on me. One thing leads to another. I didn't the line I just told you. I said, hey, I don't know if you go to church or not, but man, I'd love for you to come to my church sometime. It was before we had the Christmas Eve cards. I just had regular ones. I'd love for you to come to church sometime. You will really like our pastor. He's an amazing guy. Gave him a card. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I'm waiting until they get here. But you never know when you're going to get an opportunity, so carry these around. Second way to make a difference, become a member here at the church, not just an attender. A member. You say, what's the difference? The difference between a member and an attender is commitment. Commitment. See, when you commit to something, you really begin to get involved. And you really begin to make a bigger difference with your life. And here's a truth that I've learned over the years. You know who God uses? God uses committed people. That's who He uses. He uses committed people. If you want to start the process of becoming a member, take our newcomers class online. Anytime at your leisure, take our newcomers class. Third way to make a difference, begin serving here. Begin serving. We're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Are you serving? Are you walking any of those good works that God has created for you? You know, I found that a lot of churches are sort of like football games on Sundays. So a lot of churches are. There are 75,000 people in the stands watching who are in desperate need of exercise. And then there are about 22 people playing on the field who are desperately in need of rest. That's how most churches are. So don't just be up in the stands. Don't sit on the sideline. Be a participant, not just a spectator. And if you're not sure where to serve, ask somebody in our information center. We'd be glad to help you. Or take our SHAPE class that's online. It'll help you to find a place to serve. Fourth way to make a difference with your life, join a small group. That gives you a sense of family. So important. And if you're not part of a small group, you know what? You're always going to feel kind of like you're on the outside looking in. And then last of all, pray for God to use our church and to use you to reach more people for Jesus. You know, pray. God, use our church to reach the lost and the broken and the hurting. God, use our church to reach the down and outers. Oh, and God, use our church to reach the up and outers too, because they matter to you also. God, use our church. God, use our church to make an impact in Phoenix and all around the world. God, use me. Give me opportunities to invite people and to share my story with others. God, would you use me? God answers prayers like that. Bottom line is this. People matter to God, and He wants them to matter to us too. You can keep playing. That was good. I like that. He wants us to pull out all the stops and do everything we can to reach as many people for Jesus as we can. And I want to encourage every one of you, man, be a part of this. Be a part of this. As we close, here's what I think. I think the question that God is asking us is this. Are you willing to sacrifice your time, your energy, and your money so I, meaning God, can reach another 4,000 plus people through VC? You know what the only thing that's going to stop that from happening is? Us. Us. Would you pray with me? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit right now for everyone watching online, everybody in this room, that he would bring to mind some people in your life that he wants you to begin to invite. Invite to Christmas Eve. Invite to one of our services. Lord, I pray for every person online, every person in this room, that right now, Holy Spirit, you would begin to drop people's names, faces, into our hearts and minds. People that you, God, are targeting for us to invite. We want to participate with you, Lord. So drop those people in our hearts and minds right now. People on our block, people at our school, people that you're wanting us to reach out to. Because we believe, God, you could use a simple invitation of ours to change somebody's eternity. And we pray that you would do that, Lord. You know, God is bringing people to mind right now. I would encourage you right after this service to write their names down and begin to pray for them and begin to pray for opportunities to invite them. Maybe you don't come in contact with them that often. Pray that God would allow you supernaturally to come in contact with them. And if that doesn't happen, send them an invite on our webpage, share something on Facebook, send them a direct message, whatever. But you can reach out, you can. And by us as a church family reaching out, you never know what kind of a harvest God might want to do this Christmas season. I want to pray for us before we go. Would you please stand? If you would like someone to pray for you before you go, we're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. In fact, if they want to start coming down, that'd be great. And if you want to stick around for any prayer request, we would love, love, love to pray for you. If you're online and you'd like prayer, just click the prayer button any moment. One of our team members will get with you. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for all my friends here, both online and in person. And God, I pray that those people that you've dropped in our hearts and in our minds, that you would go before us, Lord, and you'd begin to prepare their hearts. And as we step out, God, we pray that you'd give us courage. We pray that you'd give us wisdom. We pray that you'd give us opportunities. We pray that you'd give us the guts, Lord, to risk and invite them this Christmas season. As we do, Lord, we pray that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit. May you be glorified by our simple invitations as we reach out this Christmas season. Thank you, God, for all my friends here. And as they go, I pray as their pastor, bless them, O God, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them, lift up your favor upon them, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people on your way out. Make sure you get six packs. They're in the baskets in the tunnels on your way out. God bless. We'll see you soon. Come, let us, let